This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm still on a high from last week, man. Getting to hang out with you and, man, just welcome you back home. And, man, it was such a fun time, man. It was really, really great to have you here in town. But, yeah, everything's going well. Just kind of trucking along. It's been a really busy couple of days to start out the week and raging towards the fall, man. Here we are.
Absolutely. Listen, yeah, man, last week was so much fun being back home in Jackson. You know, we made the joke about the prodigal son thing. I got to tell you, though, like, it actually did kind of feel like a prodigal son type of situation for a number of reasons, aside from the fact that, you know, we just had just this cask of just glorious cognac.
So good. Have you finished it yet?
No, I still got a little bit left. I still got a little bit.
Okay.
But by the way, if you haven't already, our YouTube channel, long overdue for content, we did put out a video of us just absolutely sloshed, enjoying that cognac and each other's company. So if you want to check that out, that video is still up. We haven't gotten embarrassed enough to take it down yet, so be sure to check that out. But no, man, beyond that, you know, grilled out, and so, you know, had a bunch of steaks, so had kind of the fatted calf type situation, which was really great. But this is what really put it over the edge, and this is kind of a personal thing, but I thought I'd share just because, I don't know, I thought I'd share. If anywhere, Country Squire Radio might be interested in this.
It's just you and me, man. Come on.
Man, so I had just a great breakfast. My dad took me out to breakfast, and we just had just such a wonderful conversation and a good catch up. And he gifted me at breakfast with the family ring. Now, this
the
is kind of interesting.
Ring? Like,
yeah.
Like, is this, are you descendant of like a, like a Don?
No. But I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Prodigal son, he put a ring on his finger, that type of deal. Like, there's kind of that whole thing. It's like a family heirloom, family artifact. My real name is Frank. I'm the fourth of that name in my family. And my original namesake, when he wanted to get married, when he asked his bride to marry him, he bought the biggest diamond he could possibly get, which is this, like, flawed diamond that had, like, this kind of crack in it. And so, yeah, it's a big hunk of rock, but at the same time, not as, like, you know, a perfect diamond by any stretch of the imagination. And it's, in fact, kind of missing this piece where this flaw is. And so, you know, obviously, he proposed to his wife. They end up having my grandfather. And my grandfather was very close to his mother. And, of course, this is the Frank second of his name.
Right, right.
When his mother died, he took the ring, he melted down the gold, and also got some other gold to kind of convert the ring into a man's ring with kind of the diamonds kind of central to it. When he died, he gifted that to, of course, my father, who is Frank the third of his name.
Yeah.
And as I said, my dad, I've always known this was coming to me. Like, this is, you know, it's just been kind of a known thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is tied to kind of the family name. It's like a birthright thing that's kind of attached to it. And anyway, so when my dad actually brought it to me, I got really concerned because I'm not supposed to get it until he dies. And I'm like, wait. like,
Dad, what are you trying to tell me here?
Right. But no, he's perfectly fine and healthy. And
that's hilarious.
That's good. Although I was wondering, I was like, do I need to flag something? What's going on now?
I know, right?
But no, I mean, I think it was just a gift and also just, anyway, it was just a very special moment.
Well, that's great.
It did make me think of the whole prodigal son thing. So I wanted to bring it up since we joked about that so much last week.
You come home, you know, yeah, everyone rolls out the red carpet. We pull out the, you know, the best wine and have the fattened calf slaughtered and the, you know, robe goes around you. And of course the handsome ring on your finger.
Yeah, man. So. I'll tell you what, listen,
I'm glad the whole thing was completed.
It really was.
It's really nice.
Dude, I came back with so many great Jackson artifacts too. I got even some liquors that we've had on Squire Select, you know, very recently we did the gin. I want to say, was it Windbird or Birdsong?
Wonderbird.
Wonderbird. That's right.
Wonderbird.
Got some Wonderbird gin, picked that up and got a chance to, like, you know, try it for real. And it was delicious. Enjoyed that. And man, also me and my wife went to a local haunt, Hall & Mal's, and did trivia night. And I actually
cool.
I actually won one of the rounds and was we during that round, we actually won a Cathead Vodka sign, like a giant Cathead Vodka sign.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Went to the local comic shop, Offbeat, and picked up some comic books. And Lemuria picked up a book there. So, yeah, like did the whole Jackson experience, man.
It was great, man. I'm so glad.
But the thing that makes it all the best was like sitting down, smoking cigars, talking pipe tobacco, and drinking cognac with you, man. That was
a lot of fun, man. Had a great time. And, of course, afterwards, we polished off a couple more glasses of that good stuff and went to Waffle House. It was just a real treat, man. So it was great to have you in town.
You know it's a night when you end up at Waffle House having those blueberry waffles, man.
Like, I know, right? Ugh, so tasty.
Well, dude, we've got we've got a great show, but before we dive into it, man, any other kind of word? I mean, I feel like I was just there, but anything else the folks should know about?
I know, right? Yeah, not a lot going on, to be honest with you. For as far as the shop goes, it's very busy right now. A lot of walk-in business, a lot of mail order. We did just get a big drop of Sam Gay with tobaccos, and so as we're recording. This is Tuesday. This episode will come out tomorrow, which is the 23rd of September,
right,
2020,
yes.
In the year of our Lord. And this stuff will have just gone on our website. And so, that is some relatively hard to get tobacco now. Sam Gay with used to be a, not the unicorn tobacco that it is now, where it's, just so hard to get your hands on it, but it's become that. And, just very difficult, it seems. And their distribution in the United States is not the best, to be just frank with you. The folks that they've chosen to distribute the tobacco stateside just, don't really do a lot of pipe tobacco stuff particularly. And so they're just not really, capable or, handle it particularly well, because they just don't do a lot of this kind of thing. So it's hard to get Samuel Gay with tobaccos right now, but we did get a good bit. So we maybe the last bit we get all year. I don't know, but we'll see. We're thankful to have that. Other than that, actually today is my daughter's first birthday. It is
happy birthday to
first
her
birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday to little Charlotte. So she turned one, and my wife and I have just been thrilled, thinking about a year ago, just we thought she was going to come on the 21st, and she wound up coming on the 22nd, and we were glad when she came. I know, I've told many people since then, watching my wife give birth. If you've never experienced that, it's really, really an amazing experience. I can be very honest and perfectly honest when I say, I would rather be shot by a gun than give birth.
Dude.
I would literally rather be shot by a firearm than give birth. I don't know how they do it. Like something about how the Lord wires women's minds. Like, they have this child. It's this incredibly wonderful but incredibly traumatic experience. It's excruciating. And then like an hour later, they're like, so when we have our next baby,
what
blah,
is
blah,
up
blah, blah,
with
blah.
That? Come on, man! Seriously,
like,
ladies, help us understand. Help us understand.
I would rather be shot by a gun, like, than have a baby. Like, it is incredible, just what.
And your wife is like, yeah, that can be arranged, John David.
I know. You keep it up, John David, and I've got a slug with your name on it.
Right.
It's awesome, man. We're so thankful for our precious baby. She's doing great. And,
good.
Walking and talking and all that kind of stuff, and of course now looking forward to being a big sister. So things are good. Yeah,
awesome, brother. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Look, we've got a an awesome show that is of course made possible by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Update on on that later on during the listener feedback, but anyway, yes, so stay tuned for that coming near the end. Man, we just did, while I was in Jackson, we kind of called it a pseudo or a sort of Squire Select last week. I mean, it was kind of.
Yeah, it was.
It checked the box.
We selected something great. We talked about it, and then we selected each other.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
It was good. And we did pair it with a tobacco. It was great that me and Jermaine... rich dark flake that I smoked. It was very tasty, and glad I got to enjoy that.
Yeah, there you go. And in the end, the Squire Select was us. That's great. No, but normally whenever we do a Squire Select, it's often paired with the Tobacco Talk. You know, it is, you know, I don't know if we've ever really addressed this, but there is almost like a penance that's involved, right? Like after the, you know, extreme indulgence of enjoying a Squire Select episode, it's like, all right, let's get back to the brass tacks. Let's get back to, you know, what is the meat and potatoes of a pipe tobacco podcast? Strictly talking pipe tobacco. And man, that is what a Tobacco Talk is. So I know you've got some great tobaccos picked out for this particular episode. I'm looking forward to diving into it with you.
Man, it is funny. It is kind of like our, you know, our lashes that we have to take in order to, you know, well, okay, you did this, so go say a bunch of Our Fathers and Hail Marys and, you know, we'll get over it. And that's what this episode is about always. It's about, man, coming off of a wonderful Squire Select and matching it up with a great Tobacco Talk the following week. And so, man, we're going to have a little fun with this today. I'm excited. These are two tobaccos that I think are very high quality that we're talking about. Both, they're not tin tobaccos necessarily. They are, one's a tin and available in bulk, and the other one is a bulk tobacco. But today we're talking about a couple of very highly respected coin-sliced tobaccos, medallion tobaccos that are incredibly popular, tobaccos that are readily available, and some that are really, really good. Today we're talking about Camoy Single Coin Slice Cask Number 7 and Peter Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake.
All right.
I'm excited about this. We're gonna talk about both tobaccos. We're gonna review both, and then I'm gonna make a pick. You know, this is something I a lot of times don't really do, but you know, I'm actually gonna, you know, we're kind of pitting these two against each other. So it's a coin toss.
It's a coin toss. All right, I see what you did there. Pretty good.
But man, really excited about this today. Two of these two tobaccos we sell in bulk here at the Country Squire, and of course the cask number 7 comes in a beautiful tin. Camoy, you know, is a brand that is historic, but, you know, it basically disappeared and then was kind of resurrected a few years ago. The beautiful pipes that have come out that are kind of in partnership with Eric Stokeby and the tobaccos that are distributed in America by Phillips and King and made by Scandinavian Tobacco Group. Just a really nice reintroduction of the Camoy brand. And so it's been kind of neat to see that. And, you know, they don't have a ton of pipes available. They're not just constantly coming out with new shapes like a, you know, a Savinelli or a Peterson or, you know, a Nording or anything like that. But, you know, they've produced some nice, handsome pipes for the pipe market and, you know, are back in that sense. And, you know, and really have produced some excellent tobaccos. I think that part of their brand name has kind of shined more, perhaps, than the pipe side of their resurrection. So, really neat. But, man, they're single coin slice. It's their cask number 7 single coin slice. In the tin, it comes in a what I call the paint can style
right.
tin. You know,
yes.
We've got this kind of, you know, lid that is hammered on to the top type of thing. You know, several other brands do this. The Rainer 71 that we talked about before is like this. There's a few others. If you've ever ordered a very large batch of tobacco from LJ Peretti in Boston, they sell their tobaccos in these bigger paint can style tins that you know, you kind of hammer on the top. It's, you know, just a different experience, kind of fun, and you know, something unique that's really nice. Big you know, 100-gram tin. So man, you know, beautiful tobacco. This is a Virginia Perique with a little black Cavendish in it, and it's manufactured by Scandinavian Tobacco Group in Denmark. When we think of STG, we've talked before, you know, STG owns, you know, literally everything.
Well,
you know, they own a lot, man. They're a really large part of the tobacco world, you know, worldwide. Our community, you know, we think of the historic names that make up the core of, you know, the tobacco world and pipe tobacco, and names like Lane, Peter Stokeby, Orlick, Escudo, Captain Black. I mean, you know, the list goes on, and also on the cigar side as well, names in the American market, names like Cohiba, CAO, what are some other ones? La Gloria Cubana. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Partagas just have a lot of these, you know, very well respected historic names kind of in their lineup. And so, you know, STG, they just have their hands in a lot of different pots, but are a very important part of the tobacco world. So, both of these tobaccos we're talking about today are actually produced by STG. And so, you know, so today, number one, we're talking about the single coin slice from Camoy. It's a lightly topped tobacco. It's one of those that is so lightly topped that I generally consider it and even sell it as a non-aromatic. It's one of those that I would easily, without hesitation, put in a non-aromatic pipe. And I consider this a non-aromatic as much as I consider, you know, Orlick Golden Sliced or... you know, really, I mean, really almost any tobacco out there that would historically be thought of as a non-aromatic, luxury, Navy Flake, you know, a lot of these tobaccos that might have some, little bit of topping, but not, anything over the top, that's super pronounced. And so, yeah, just a really handsome tobacco. And, you open it up, in the can or, you know, this comes in bulk as well. And, very beautiful, thin coin slices. We're talking about, you know, maybe an inch and a half in diameter here, and just a very handsome tobacco. You know, it is moist. It's got a noticeable moisture to it when you're handling this tobacco, which is you know, very pleasant. A lot of looking at these coins, it's, you know, we've been inundated this year with hurricanes, right? That's kind of the, you know, one of the themes of 2020, one of the many
themes,
many themes of 2020 has been hurricane. You know, they already went through the entire list of names, which is crazy. It's just bonkers to me. But and I think someone told me the other day now they're going to go to like the Greek alphabet or something.
Well, that's right. So we got Tropical Storm Beta just hit, and is actually, as we're recording, is still running along the Texas coast, headed towards Louisiana. Yeah, and actually, you know, I was thinking of like Beta. You know, this is like the beta test for the actual apocalypse. You know, it's like
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it may graduate to the alpha test. You know, I don't know. But
all right, should I correct? Let me just correct you real quick because I know our listeners are drunk. The alpha test actually comes before the beta test. So for our listeners that may have just been driven crazy alpha by the beta, I gotta correct you on that one. You go from alpha test to beta test, and then pretty much you go to launch. So that's.
I was about to say, so there's no gamma test; it's just launch.
No,
right?
It's just
at that
launch,
point.
That's right.
Right. Enter to the nuclear codes. Well, we're at that point, and so all that to say, when I look at these coin slices from Camoy, you know, I really do think of these of a hurricane type thing. It's just funny as these you know, tropical storms have been on our mind this year, and I kind of have been handling these tobaccos over the last couple days. You know, just thinking about this episode, yeah, they really do have this mesmerizing you know, structure to them. These veins of lines that run in a helix around the center, you know, dot of you know, black Cavendish that's in the middle of the tobacco, and so they're just very handsome to look at, very very elegant, very interesting looking. It's one of those tobaccos when people look at it and they're not pipe smokers, or maybe they just haven't smoked a flake before. They think, oh, that's cool. Like, what is that? I recognize it's tobacco, but like, tell me about that. Why did they make it that way? And you know, how do you actually consume that? You know,
right.
So,
well, let me ask you something about this, because
always those questions, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a broad question, as like, and I, you know, like you mentioned, be it Cast 7 or, you know, Luxury Bullseye Flake, they both kind of have that coin style, and as you mentioned, it does kind of gather your attention if it's not something you're accustomed to. You know, one of the things I notice about both of these, and you know, obviously one's more prominent than the other, we'll talk about that in a second, but is the center, right? Like the center, and specifically the tightness, the condensedness of the tobacco as it's found in the center. And I think about two things. One is bread. If you've ever had a bread that didn't rise all the way and the dough is just really super condensed in the center, it's typically not very good. On the other hand, I very recently had a pound cake that had like this sweetness saturated in the center that at first I thought was going to taste really doughy, but ended up tasting delicious. I'm curious about, because, you know, obviously, but it certainly implied that, you know, the wrapping of the pipe tobacco to make these coin sliced, you know, contraptions, if you will, or yeah. you know, products, you know, require just by necessity, the tobacco in the center is going to be more tightly coiled and more kind of compressed than those on the exterior. My curiosity is, when this is the case, does it make it, what is the flavor more condensed with it in the means of, you know, in a similar fashion to the pound cake? Is it?
Well, that's actually a great question. Yeah. I didn't really see where you were going with that until, you know, you kind of got there towards the end.
That seems to be the case normally.
I honestly, that is a great question. And, you know, I think as these, you know, again, we're talking about, you know, twist tobaccos. These are tobaccos that are rolled up into these long rolls, these long logs and strands, and then are sliced in this manner in order to consume easier. But, you know, in its natural form, or its, you know, unadulterated form, I guess, after, or, you know, it's while it's being you know, processed or cured. Cured is not the right word, but just sitting up after it's rolled. You know, this tobacco is. It looks like a twist tobacco. It looks like a big hunk of limb of this tobacco that's been rolled in this fashion, and then they, of course, they just slice it thinly like this in order for us to consume it. And so it does that, obviously, to you know, affect the flavor and the you know, ability of it to stay fresh, you know, and the tobacco, of course, marries up and gets stronger and richer and more interesting over time. And so, you know, it just performs a variety of functions there. But yeah, I think the tobacco there towards the center of the medallion does get more tightly bunched. And so you do have that. But, you know, the thing that really stands out here is the very center of these two medallions. We're talking right now, of course, about the Kamoi single coin slice. But, you know, they are actually a different type of tobacco. What they do is they put the middle kind of bullseye, I guess, portion of this tobacco they make as a kind of a center of unflavored black Cavendish, which is just its own kind of tobacco that runs as a vein among the entire length of the twist. And then when it's sliced, it just makes this really interesting little, you know, center feature, eye of the hurricane, if you will, kind of thing in the middle of this this little pepperoni. And so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, like I said, I know that's probably... You know, for most coin slice, there's a universality to that reality.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, and of course, anything on the internal part of the, you know, the medallion is typically going to retain moisture a little better as well. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times you'll see the outside of these little coins are you know, a little drier, maybe a little flakier than the internal portion. And of course, the Cavendish that, you know, inhabits the middle part of the coin is actually more of a moist tobacco anyway, just because how it's processed, right? We're talking about a, you know, a fermented tobacco that, you know, has this, you know, a very nice kind of natural moisture to it. So anyway, you know, great question, though. The, you know, moisture, again, it's not sopping, but it is there. This particular tobacco crumbles very nicely into something resembling a ready-rubbed tobacco. So when you have that, you kind of, you know, you're tearing it apart similar to any flake tobacco, and it kind of comes out with that same consistency that is my experience. I smoked this particular tobacco in a clay pipe, and we did that, you know, and really enjoyed both these tobaccos in a clay pipe. I'm not a, you know, particularly fancy packer. If you've heard the show for a long time, you know, I just generally use a three-step method when it comes to packing. And, you know, this packed very easily. I had a lot of confidence as soon as I got done packing this tobacco that it was going to light, you know, very easily and quickly and smoothly, and also stay lit relatively easy as well. So the false light on this particular tobacco, the cask number 7, it produces a nice moderate amount of smoke. It had a nice sting on a clean palate, something where you know, your tongue is kind of exposed to just a little bit of a sweet heat, you know, something that was reminiscent of some of my favorite whiskeys that have a pleasant bite to it, where you know that first sip that you take that you're drinking something substantial there. And, you know, I think this tobacco is similar to that, you know, from that perspective as well. The full light combusts very easily. You know, I gave it a nice char, tamped it down, and then gave it a full light. And it was very, very quick to light. I think the moisture content was very, you know, very appropriate for, you know, lighting right away, which was great. And, you know, the single coin slice, the number 7, it's very rich and oaty. You get, you know, kind of that silage, oaty, barnyard kind of thing. It's just very, very earthy. It's a very, very pleasant tobacco. And, you know, as you go through the bowl, you're met with this warm brown sugar and molasses notes that really, you know, kind of take over the whole experience. It is a toasty tobacco. It's got a nice pepper from the perique content, and you know, it has a nice slight sweetness that's there as well. So yeah, just really great. Burns great, and burns a little hot, as you would expect from a lot of Virginia leaves, but it just has a great flavor, and I think is not overpowered by the Cavendish in the middle of the tobacco, and just really has a great flavor. So one of those that, you know, anyone that likes a flake tobacco or a Virginia tobacco, you know, would enjoy. And even someone that likes an aromatic and just wants to mix it up occasionally and smoke something different, I think would like this one as well.
Mm. Okay, so I'm kind of curious, when was the first time that you ever, like, was this actually your first coin slice, out of curiosity?
Oh, no. I smoked this years ago. I'm trying to think. I think right after they kind of rebirthed the Kamoy brand, gosh, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago now, but we had an event, actually, where they brought a bunch of their tobaccos and their pipes and had a, you know, a joint pipe event with the Kamoy pipes and the fourth generation pipes from Eric Stokeby. And I think at that event, that was the first time I tried this particular tobacco and really liked it. Really, really remember even going back then enjoying this tobacco. So very, very good.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's, you know, beautiful tin, as you mentioned, the paint can style and everything. I mean, it's a great coin slice, but I got to tell you, man, the first ever coin slice pipe tobacco I ever had was Luxury Bullseye Flake.
Yep. And that's true for a lot of people.
I would imagine.
that's exactly right. Talking about that now. And so, Luxury Bullseye Flake, made by Peter Stokeby, again, a Virginia Perique Black Cavendish tobacco, manufactured by the Scandinavian Tobacco Group in Denmark there once again. You know, this used to be under a different name. They called this years ago Luxury Curly Cut. I don't know if they discontinued Luxury Curly Cut and then renamed it this, or if that were actually two different tobaccos, but this kind of filled the void in their you know, repertoire of tobaccos that they had for that that, you know, coin slice that came out in 2006. And so they've had this for quite a while now. Really delicious you know, tobacco, one of those that's very highly respected and you know, readily available. A lot of we sell both of these tobaccos in bulk, but you know, a lot of shops that don't even do much pipe tobacco sell the Luxury Bullseye Flake in bulk as well. And so just a fun tobacco, always something very interesting to look at. You know, very similar in that it has a very nice moisture content. It might be not quite as moist as the Kamoy that we discussed, but very, you know, very similar. The construction is very fine, and this crumbles to a fine particle, whereas the other kind of crumbled in more of a something you would expect from a flake. The fine particle here was my case, and has been historically for the Luxury Bullseye Flake. And you know, when I think of that, it kind of, because it crumbles in that manner, you know, I think of it more as loading in your pipe as almost like a cube cut tobacco or something that is more granular, you know, and very, you know, just kind of falls in. You use gravity to kind of fill your pipe, and you may tamp it a little bit, but that's about it. And so, you know, but yeah, it just crumbles to these fine little particles. It's kind of like a nice steak that just melts in your mouth, you know. Mm-hmm. And similarly, the false light on this particular tobacco, you know, it singes the top very nicely. This tobacco crumbles very nicely. And so, you know, the full light then combusts very easily and creates a nice even cherry in the bowl. Just, you know, gets it lit evenly and tends to stay lit evenly as well. And so, you know, just this is a great tobacco because it seems to be more on the bright, cheerful side of Virginia's. You've got more of that, you know, that classic citrus, hay, grassy flavor that that we see in a lot of these leaves. And, you know, it reminds me of a more powerful, maybe richer variety of an Orlik or something. Some of my favorite tobaccos, but maybe with a little more depth and a little more pepper. The unflavored Black Cavendish that inhabits the center of this is very similar to the Kamoy number 7, but it probably takes up, just eyeballing it, it probably takes up a little more space, a little more real estate in the middle of this coin than the Kamoy. So I don't know what the exact percentages are. They hold those cards kind of close to their chest when they discuss these tobaccos, but the percentage looks to be maybe a little larger in the Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake. So you have a sweeter tobacco here that I think really does, feature a nice sugary, citrusy note to it. They call this an unflavored tobacco. To be honest, find that hard to believe. We talk at length about how flavoring is lurking everywhere, even in tobaccos that say they're unflavored. And I think this would probably be one of those cases where that's true, which is fine. That's a, you know, kind of part of the pipe experience. All tobacco to some degree is flavored. And so, I can't tell that this one is not, if you're going to call the Kamoy tobacco if you're going to call it flavored and then call the Stokeby tobacco unflavored, I don't see where there's that much of a difference. I would kind of put these in the same category. So I'll let the blog warriors, discuss, if these tobaccos should be called aromatics or non-aromatics. But I would tend to put both of these in the non-aromatic camp.
Interesting. So. Okay. All right. No, it makes some sense. So two things. First of all, for Luxury Bullseye Flake, as you mentioned, it's sold in bulk. Has it ever been tinned?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah, not to my knowledge, this tobacco's never been tinned. It's so easy to sell in bulk, and it's one of those that just, it's very prevalent. It weighs up nicely. It looks really handsome on the shelf, and so it's a good tobacco to buy in bulk, but I'm not sure that it's ever been tinned.
No. Okay. All right, I'm always kind of curious. Have you ever sold it in a rope form?
I have not. We actually, I've seen some of this tobacco in a rope form, basically before Stokeby cuts it up into coins. But I haven't had it in the shop as a product or sold it that way before. Yeah, typically the ropes that we sell here in the shop are going to be smaller.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking something like the Gaywith and Hogarth twists or the Black Irish, Sweet Coconut, Black XX. I'm trying to think, Sweet Whiskey Twist, Sweet Rum, Sweet Maple.
Man, you really do kind of associate rope with aromatics, yeah, at least from the Squire standpoint.
You do. Now, a few of these, like the Black Irish and the Black XX, these are very, they are non-aromatic tobaccos. They're something, some of the strongest tobaccos that we sell, very robust, meaty, earthy, think barbecue, charred flesh. These are darker, rich tobaccos that, have, gosh, just quite a bit of strength to them. But yeah, even the aromatic varieties have that strength to them as well. So in the twist form, for some reason, those tighter, smaller twists, that we sell tend to be much, much stronger than the likes of the, coin slices from, Peter Stokeby or Kamoy. So, these tobaccos, both of them, moderate nicotine content, moderate strength content. I'd say maybe kind of, medium to full in that range. And so, it's one of those that it's certainly not the highest on the nicotine scale, but it does, let you know that you're smoking, good pipe tobacco.
Okay. So. All right. Well, there you go. All right. So as you mentioned, this is a coin toss, right? This is almost kind of like a battle of the
Yeah, yeah.
a ultimate frisbee of coin sliced tobacco.
No, that's right. That's right. Keep going. No.
What is it? Skeet shooting.
Disgust. No,
oh,
yeah.
Disgust. There you go.
People are disgusted with us. You know, comparing these two tobaccos, they're both obviously high quality tobaccos. The you know, looking at them yields not a whole lot of difference as far as how they look. The Luxury Bullseye Flake tends to look a little darker to me. I think I see more of a, you know, lighter color in that Kamoy that's there, which is interesting because I get more richer, browner flavors from the Kamoy. I thought that was interesting. The Kamoy is a thinner slice flake, as far as I can tell. It seems to be something that is a little more thin, a little more maybe delicate. Although it doesn't, you know, it crumbles more into that flake consistency, which is interesting. When you do crumble it apart, it becomes more of that kind of ready rubbed. You know how a traditional flake would kind of break apart. The Stokeby seems to contain probably a little more natural sugar. It has more of a bright flavor, you know, something where you get more of that citrus hay, things that, you know, tend to be on that kind of side of the Virginia spectrum. You know, where's the Kamoy tobacco tends to be more of that molasses, brown sugar, rich stone fruit, some of that kind of stuff. It has plenty of the hay like you know, tendencies to it, but you're going to get you know, kind of more of those rich notes there. I think at least they're more prevalent than in the Stokeby. So again, the Cavendish looks significant, but it's really, even though it might be a little bigger in the Luxury Bullseye Flake, on both of these tobaccos it doesn't take up a whole lot of space, and we're not talking about a lot of you know, a lot of this tobacco being Black Cavendish. And so, you know, if that's scaring you away from trying one of these tobaccos, first of all, they're not flavored Cavendish, you know, pieces. These are just, you know, unflavored Black Cavendish. Cavendish, of course, is a processed tobacco goes through that, you know, adds some richness and depth to it and takes away some of the strength, makes it smooth and silky and is often flavored, but is often not flavored, and in this form is unflavored. So, you know, the Cavendish in this tobacco, it just kind of gives it a nice rounds off the edges a little bit. It's not, you know, the center of this tobacco, even though it's literally the center of the tobacco. It's not the, you know, the center of the smoking experience when you light this up. So, you know, and a lot of folks have actually smoked these tobaccos before, but they've actually, as they are loading their pipe or, you know, preparing this tobacco to be loaded, they've actually popped the little Cavendish, you know, kind of plugs out of the middle of the medallion, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, and you can do that. To be honest with you, I think if you do that, you won't be able to tell a lot of difference because the Cavendish just, you know, it's there, it's present, but it's certainly not the center of this blend, at least from a, you know, tasting standpoint. You know, both these are good blends. The Kamoy is kind of the newcomer, not as prevalent on the market, although well-known by pipe smokers and you know, well-respected. The Luxury Bullseye Flake is kind of the old salt that's been around a long time and, you know, has that kind of legacy, you know, pedigree that folks know and love and is found in a lot of different places. And so the Stokeby is by far the more popular of the two tobaccos. You know, and I think it is just, you know, because it's you know, readily available. It's one of those that's probably a little less expensive and you know, is just you know, widely distributed, and so you can find it in a lot of places. But all in all, these two tobaccos are very similar. The Stokeby is the more popular tobacco, but my edge is going to go towards, and has gone towards for the past several years, the Kamoy, the single coin slice. So I kind of tip my hat in that direction. You know, for me, the flake is, this is a little more like a traditional flake-like experience when you smoke the Kamoy cask number 7. It's got a, you know, just, it tastes more like flake tobacco, but really it prepares and smokes the you know, experience of actually loading it, lighting it, keeping it lit, tamping it. That rhythm goes along more with me like a traditional flake, which I tend to like. And so puffing it is very easy. I like how it kind of blossoms and blows up as you light the tobacco, and it kind of bulges up over the bowl. It's really really very satisfying. And for me, the Kamoi actually tastes less sweet. It's interesting because they say it is mildly topped, but it tastes less sweet to me actually than the luxury Bullseye Flake. And so I just think that's kind of fascinating, a little note there. The Kamoi is a little more bitey, but it falls well within the range of bitey Virginias. It's one of those that just it's going to have a nice kind of sweet heat, a little bit of a sting. And Virginia lovers know that you kind of have to sip these tobaccos and smoke them slowly in order to consume them where they're really enjoyable. And so I think the luxury Bullseye Flake is probably a little smoother of a tobacco, but the Kamoi I think generally has more flavor and is just a great lighting and puffing experience. And to me is just a great blend. And so a dirty little secret here, and if you're close friends with me or have lit up with me or I've probably even mentioned it on air before, because we've talked about luxury Bullseye Flake before, right? This is a tobacco that we've talked about even from the early days of Country Squire Radio. It's always around and constantly comes up because of how popular it is. There's a flavor in luxury Bullseye Flake that really gets me, and gets me in a way that I just kind of have a hard time. It's hard for me to block out, and I'm about the only person, I've talked to that gets this from luxury Bullseye Flake. But there is a Lakeland essence in luxury Bullseye Flake that I cannot get out of my mind. For some reason, when I smoke this particular tobacco, I get a soapiness that is just not there in other tobaccos that are similar. And so it's something I can't shake, man. And it's one of those things, if you know my smoking preferences, I don't enjoy that rosy, shampoo-like flavor.
Wow.
It's just something I don't really get. I know they're big fans of that out there, and folks that, really covet
you
these,
get shampoo.
I don't know, man. If it's, if I want to, eat a bar of soap, I'll go to Bath & Body Works. But
I always come on this show, and I always praise, just the exceptional a palette that you have, that you represent the industry. And I feel like I'm always envious. Not today, sir. Not today. I think
that's fair.
I don't know. I don't know what you're smoking, but clearly you're smoking soap. So.
Well, it's funny. I can't really say that I've talked to anyone else on this earth that has ever gotten that flavor from luxury Bullseye Flake. But for some reason, that has always kind of tinged out at me with this particular tobacco. Sometimes it's a large portion of the bowl that tastes that way. Sometimes it's just these little ethereal, wispy flavors that seep through occasionally, but for me, it's always been there, and so it's kind of hard for me to get past that. So letting my dirty little secret, kind of letting that in, that's not so secret. That's part of the reason probably why I give the edge to the Kamoi. So both great tobaccos, both something to try and keep in your stable, and I would certainly check them out.
All right, well there you go, man. The coin toss episode, the coin toss tobacco talk.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well done. The great thing is, no matter what pipe tobacco, be it either luxury Bullseye Flake or the wonderful Cask Number 7 from Kamoi. If you happen to be enjoying these, a great way to do so to make sure that you are getting all the flavors, preferably not soap or shampoo, but all the other flavors, you're getting from a great quality smoke from a corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right, man. Of course, they have so many good pipes that you could smoke a coin slice out of. But my favorite for this is going to be the Apple Diplomat corncob pipe. It's a beautiful pipe. It's one of those that comes in a straight and a slightly bent stem variety, and has a nice kind of roundish apple shaped bowl, smooth with a nice warm honey color there and a black stem. Very very pretty. It's one of those that is available as a single pipe or a two-pipe gift set, which, you know, you can always enjoy. So it also has, you know, contains the ability to put a filter in it, you know, in case you want to, you know, maybe lessen the moisture content or, you know, soften up the smoke a little bit. So a great pipe, and one of those because the size of the bowl would handle a broken coin really nicely. So retails for only $13.29. You can get it from the source at corncobpipe.com. Check it out, and we'd love to hear what you think about the Apple Diplomat corncob pipe.
There you go. And hey, if you happen to have one, be sure to enjoy it this week. Take a picture of yourself doing so to tweet to us. We'd love to retweet that out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
This week coming in from me, actually. This is a question I have for you.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're all, you know, we want to be conscientious with our dollars and make sure that we are patronizing some amazing establishments and purchasing products to help out the economy in these trying times. But a question occurred to me once I got back and I started kind of, you know, bringing home all of my purchases and looking at how I helped stimulate the Jackson economy by buying so much coffee and alcohol, if I'm being totally honest, but a lot of great stuff. Here's my question for you. What is the most expensive pipe that you, John David, have ever purchased? With a follow-up question, do you regret it?
Wow. Yes. That's a great question. You know, in full disclosure, you know, as a retailer generally, you know, I'm able to get pipes at a cheaper price point than probably you are.
this is one of those things
where, you know, I mean, I am do have that availability to me, but you know, having said that, you know, they can still be very expensive, and I do have a number of pipes that are on the higher end, you know, some of which were estate pipes purchased and some that I bought brand new or claimed for myself when they came in the shop. And so the most expensive pipe that I've ever purchased as a new pipe was a Costello 55. It's a Costello edition, beautiful, warm, just natural finish on this particular pipe, a nice smooth finish that allows you to see a good chunk of flame grain and a little bird's eye. And it's got this the 55 shape that has this kind of chin sticking out and a twisted you know, helix like shank on it. It's just very very attractive, very large pipe for me, which I don't smoke a, you know, typically a whole lot of large pipes, but you know, it is one of those that that I am drawn to occasionally. And yeah, you know, I don't regret it at all, man. I mean, this particular pipe, I think retails for about I think I paid maybe $650 for it, something like that. Maybe that was the MSRP on that pipe. And you know, it really expensive pipe. It's one of those that you know, you're like, man, I mean, that's a gut punch, or you know, you got to sit there and, you know, make sure you're, you know, counting your shekels before you right. pull the trigger on a pipe like
that. Not exactly a knee-jerk type situation.
It's not. You know, it's not. But, you know, in my particular case, my excuse was, well, I mean, you know, if I'm going to, you know, sell Costellos, I really need to have one in my personal collection so I can smoke it and tell people about how good it smokes and all this kind of stuff.
I have justified a lot of high-quality headphones for that exact reason.
No, that's right. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, well, yeah, I mean, if I'm going to sell this stuff, I got to, I'm not just the president, I'm also a client kind of thing. Right,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't regret it one bit, man. It's one of my best smoking pipes, and you know, it is a large, very generous bowl. It has an acrylic stem, which is handmade, and you know, it's just a very handsome pipe, but it smokes great. Costellos, to me, tend to be a little open with their draw, which sometimes is a nice change up from some of my other pipes. But and also, most of my pipes tend to have ebonite stems, and so the acrylic is just something nice and different. It always looks really sharp, too. So, yeah, man, I love it, and it's you know, it's one of those purchases that you know, I've made. I guess before I got married, and certainly before I had any kids, and so You know, now I don't know if I could have gotten away with that the past couple of years.
Right.
But man, anyway, glad that I purchased it when I could, and certainly has made me a believer in Costello. So
well, there you go. All right, well, man, thank you for shedding some light on that. I actually want to do something we don't normally do. I kind of want to put that out to the listeners as well. What is the most expensive pipe that y'all have ever purchased, and do you regret it? I would love to hear some of those stories. So since
that's probably got some good feedback. Yeah. I mean, because there are, you know, even folks that, you know, generally smoke, you know, these kind of everyman basket pipes, you know, $30, $40, $50 pipes, and yet, you know, they make their first purchase of a Peterson or a Savinelli, you know, $100 plus pipe. And, you know, what, and maybe that's your most expensive pipe. What's that like for you? Like, do you regret it? Is it something that you found well worth it? Did it kind of change your perspective on, you know, pipes and the quality at different price points? We'd love to learn more about that.
Absolutely. So y'all send those into us, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire questions!
Ow!
All right, man. Quickfire questions. This is Ryland's Kids Edition. So listener Ryland, his...
Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah, Ryland, yeah.
Kids came up with some for us. So, all right.
Great.
Yeah, this is for all the Ducats, man. We got to bring our A game. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Broccoli or carrots?
Broccoli.
Tell you what, roasted broccoli is actually really good.
It's pretty doggone good.
Yeah. You dip it in some, you know, some ranch dressing too. I mean, like, you know, you could eat it raw. Yeah. Now ask me, you know, 20 years ago and I'd go carrots all the way, but not in my older age. Yeah. I'm feeling the broccoli. Indoor or outdoors for smoking?
Indoors. I really do enjoy smoking indoors. Of course, I have the luxury of doing that. Mm-hmm. That you know, here in the pipe shop, get to do that regularly. And you know, I used to smoke inside more at the house too. That doesn't really happen as much anymore. But you know, occasionally when I do get the, you know, hall pass to be able to do that at home, that's pretty fun too.
Okay, so. All right, fair enough. You know, I'm not a huge fan of smoking indoors. And it has nothing to do whether, you know, what's allotted to me or not. I think even at the Squire, I tend to enjoy the back patio or you know, up in the front a little bit more. I just associate pipe smoking with nature, and I like kind of being out in the elements, feeling the wind, seeing the, I mean, like, you know, there is something very special about being, you know, indoors and kind of seeing the lingering of kind of the plumes of smoke, to be sure. But I don't know, like there's just something about kind of the, I mean, not to get like ultra romantic here, but just something about kind of the smoke kind of becoming one with the wind and kind of watching it kind of flutter away, and almost like your cares or whatever you're kind of mentally trying to ponder. Can also, I mean, I don't know. I always associate pipe smoking with just kind of nature and being outdoors. So I'm going to be outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people would probably fall in that category.
All right. Peterson or another brand? Wait, these are the kids.
I know, right? The kids are the kid. He says, "Hi, you can tell what I like to smoke,"
right.
And it's funny because you know, the kids are like, "Well, obviously it's Peterson." Man, I'm going to disappoint you, kids. I would probably pick another brand, but I'll leave that other brand unsaid.
Same, but with no disrespect to Peterson.
Yeah, same as well.
And then let's see, hand dipped or soft served ice cream?
Hand dipped.
Mm, yes. And then finally, Dairy Queen or Sonic?
You know, I'm going to go with Dairy Queen by hair.
Okay.
Like, there are some things you go to Sonic for that you're just like, man, I really want one of those slushies or, you know, an ocean water or something like that. They make good onion rings, all that kind of stuff. But, man, if you want ice cream, like, I'm probably going to go to Dairy Queen.
So, in general, like, broadly, I'm not a big Dairy Queen fan. But just before I just cast them off entirely, do they make the Blizzard?
They do.
All right, yeah, Dairy Queen all the way. Yeah, 100%. Throw out
hard
the rest of the
it.
Menu, but I tell you what, that Blizzard, man, that'll...
it's fine.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's fine.
So there you go. Hope you enjoyed those Rylands, kids. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listen to feedback. First one, man. I mentioned this at the top of the show. A little bit of an update for the patrons. Shout out to Jim Clough, a newer patron, but somebody who's been a fervent supporter of the show He says, hey, John, David, and Bo, just writing to give credit where credit is due. I see on the website the list of patrons has been updated.
Look at someone doing their job. That's awesome.
I know. It only took them like half a year in a pandemic and, you know, being locked to a desk.
Right?
Yeah. Also, I was listening to an older Pipe Shop's Fails episode, the one featuring the Pilgrim and his business tips. Laughed my butt off. His list should be the next club t-shirt. Now, that has been discussed, Jim.
That's not a bad idea. We have discussed that before. The if you're not familiar with that, we did a Pipe Shop Fails episode. I think it was the original one. It was either one of the first or the second one, but that particular episode, I introduced you guys to Pilgrim Zach, and we'll just call him the Pilgrim, I guess.
The Pilgrim.
I already said his name, but the Pilgrim. And man, the Pilgrim, he just has quite an interesting story, and is one of those very colorful people that come in and make our life as a tobacconist interesting. But go back and listen to that. Very, very fun episode, and a lot of tales to be told around that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
it'd make a pretty sweet t-shirt.
I tell you what, before the Ewoks, it was like one of our number one downloaded episode. It's still up there in the top three or five somewhere in there. That's a great one, Jim. Thank you so much. And yes, the updated patrons. Although as is always the case, I updated it, and then we've got a whole new soiree, which is of course my word, of new patrons that I need to update there as well. So we'll be getting that done. All right, next one. This one's from Cassie Holland. It says, "Hey, John, David, and Bo. First things first, I hope you read those names as Joan, David, and Boo, because pronunciation matters, of course. I have been a
fair enough.
Touche. I've been a fan of this show for a little while now, and am grateful, like so many others, for what you guys are doing. I have a few quick fire questions themed after Lord of the Rings, but first, I wanted to ask you guys." If you guys have ever considered making an episode on the pipe as it has shown up in video games. I'm not a huge gamer now, but they have certainly played a role in my appreciation of storytelling and presentation. There's a video I found of a YouTuber for a guy who was asking for Elder Scrolls Oblivion to allow his character smoke a pipe. In addition, I enjoyed playing Pillars of Eternity, which featured a fantastic character named Ender, or Edder, who is found smoking what I believe to be a corncob pipe, no doubt from the good people at Missouri Beersham. All that to say, I am curious how pipes have shown up in various worlds created in video games. Again, that is from Casey Holland. Casey, first things first, your quick fire questions are coming up in a future episode. Great Lord of the Rings ones. We're looking forward to answering those. But I wanted to throw this one into the listener feedback this week because I think it's a great suggestion. But does this, like, yes, pipe smoking comes up in video games from time to time, and I always take note of it. It's always kind of, a fascination of mine as well. We do have a series of, Heroes of the Bowl, where we talk about pipe smoking heroes, both of history and fiction. And, I always wonder whether or not video game characters really warrant, is there enough material, or is there enough kind of broad appreciation for those characters to do a Heroes of the Bowl on them. I do wonder if maybe I'd have to think about this, and I guess I'm thinking about it out loud here on the show because I want feedback from the listeners. Is this an episode or perhaps even a potential mini series of episodes to kind of sprinkle throughout of pipe smoking in video games where we talk about various characters? We'd almost have to do a couple at a time as opposed to a full on Heroes of the Bowl. But
And is there a whole lot of intersection there? There may not be, but there certainly is some. There's probably more than we realize.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think
it'd be nice to take note of those moments and at least acknowledge them or point them out, to let folks know kind of where they are and what they are.
Well, and it's interesting because I much like Casey here, like, feel like video games, the way in which, I enjoy video games as well. But the main thing that I really appreciate about them is interactive storytelling and the way in immersive storytelling and kind of the way that it can kind of speak to you. And so I know that for some of our listeners, they might kind of roll their eyes at the nature of like, oh, well, video game character smoking pipes, what all can you mine there? But I mean, like, there's actually, especially in kind of modern context, there's some really deep storytelling going on in video games. And if you kind of look at the evolution of interactive and immersive storytelling, the work that's being laid for the storytelling of the future is happening and has been happening in the video games and in the console wars and everything else. So all that to say, I'm not a huge gamer either. I think actual gamers would roll their eyes if I called myself one, but I definitely think it's worth possibly doing at least one episode to explore various pipe smoking in video games, but I really want to hear feedback from the listeners as to something. Yeah. Is that something you're interested in? Do you think that would you prefer that we do kind of individual video game characters, or do you think it's kind of an all-encompassing episode? Let us know what you think. But great feedback, Casey. Thanks so much for that. And hey, if you've got some feedback for us, you can always write into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
At Squire Radio is the show's handle, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, the coin toss.
The coin toss, baby. Yeah, I had fun. It was good. Always fun, man, smoking these tobaccos. And yeah, you know, I'd be interested to see who's... feathers I ruffled with my pick, but yeah, always enjoyed them, and it's very tasty.
You said it's like tasted like shampoo. There will be feathers rustled, my friend. That is happening, so it'll be the commentary will be delicious, I'm sure. Well, hey, man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.